What if the way you've been telling your life story reveals the secret to what is holding you back? Stories play an integral part in how we see not only ourselves, but the whole world. Stories are more than just an important part of communication. They also reveal hidden aspects of our inner talk, which can either support us or end up holding us back from the very things we want most in life, without us even realizing it. Join author, mindset coach, and award-winning singer-songwriter Carrie Rowan on her show, Look for the Good, every Monday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. when she shares nuggets of wisdom from her internationally best-selling book, Tell a New Story, 5 Simple Steps to Release Your Negative Stories and Bring Joy to Your Life. Carrie's powerful stories and compelling guests will empower you to change how you look at your own life while giving you some powerful tools and tips you can use every day to help you feel better and move yourself closer to the life you've been longing to live.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Look for the Good. I'm your host, Carrie Rowan, mindset strategist and coach, and I love sharing nuggets of wisdom about the stories we tell each other, but more importantly, those quiet little stories that we tell right up here to ourselves. So you can join me and my special guests as we share our personal stories of strength and triumph every week here on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. You can listen online on your mobile device, in your car, or even ask Alexa to play Dream Vision 7 Radio. You can tune in every Monday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern Time to get real stories and tips on how to turn your story and your life around and evolve with us as we unite humankind with universal love. Thank you, everybody, for being here today. I am so excited about this. I have a tremendous special guest. Hello, Maggie, waiting in the wings.
Hello.
Super excited to have you on the show. Let me tell you a little bit about Maggie before I go get going, because her story, we met through a mutual friend, right? So through our friend Suzanne, and her story is just so beautiful. I can't wait to dive into it. And as you know, I love talking about those stories that we thought were just too devastating to tell, the stories that were so hard for us to get over. But really, those are the stories that hold the gems, right? The morsels of truth about who we really are and how we transform those stories, even the ones that bring us right down to our knees. And that is what I love talking about. That's what Maggie and I are going to be talking about today. And let me tell you a little bit about her, because she's amazing. Dr. Maggie Cook, she was born, I love this, Magdalena de la Cruz Cook Garcia, is a self-made businesswoman and the creator of Maggie's All Natural Fresh Salsas and Dips, a multi-million dollar company that sold with Garden Fresh to Campbell Soup at a $231 million value. Woo! Ooh, Maggie, that's amazing. Her life began in Mexico, where she grew up in an orphanage among 68 other brothers and sisters. Maggie taught herself how to play basketball. I love that. A talent that would bring her to the U.S. on an athletic scholarship to the University of Charleston. After college, she won a salsa making contest unanimously and was given $800 to start a company by a person who recognized her passion and drive. We're going to talk about that passion and drive. Over the next few years, Maggie focused on expanding the company nationwide in supermarket chains like Walmart, Sam's Club, Whole Foods, and many more. She is a powerhouse. So today, Maggie delivers game-changing keynotes to organizations and top leaders. She transforms teams, improves workplace cultures, and shifts mindset towards success. Maggie, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I feel like we should have an applause after that. It's like amazing. You are so welcome. Thank you for coming on the show. And you and I spoke, and I was just so absolutely moved by your story of perseverance, your story of believing in yourself. And then even when you thought you had overcome it, you had more things that came your way. So tell us your story, your most transformational story. I mean, it's not every day that you talk to somebody who grew up in an orphanage in Mexico. It's like mind-blowing. How on earth did you get the mindset, even the belief that you could get out of your circumstances? Where, my friend, did that come from?
Yes, I think that my driving factor was being in a situation, in a place where there was a lot of suffering, a lot of pain, and a lot of abuse in most cases. And I had this idea of hope for something better. That was my thing. I was always hoping for something better. And one of the things that I held in mind was, one day I'm going to come out of here and I'm going to be an inspiration and let everybody else know here. Because yes, I had 68 brothers and sisters, but there was 200 other kids that lived there with two caregivers. So I was always thinking, I'm seeing so much suffering. I'm going to become a success to let them know that it is possible to live a better, happier life. And that's really what drove me. And it was one incident when my father was, which was our caregiver, he came out of the clinic one Sunday. And this was every Sunday he would give medical attention to the poor for free. And I had an epiphany moment there with him when he was dealing with one of the poorest of the poor, mother with two kids. And I remember him squeezing my head and telling me, I never want you to be that poor. And he then proceeded to talk to these people and gave them money for a taco. And because sometimes they came and didn't even have money to leave. So he would give them money for the bus fare. And I remember turning around and looking at the skies. And I remember exactly what I was doing, what I had on, and telling myself, you know, that I'm going to get out of here and be and do something bigger. And I think that I'm grateful for the suffering. I'm grateful for the adversity, because now I understand that it's built me and made me the person that I am today. But it all comes down to choice, because not a lot of the people that I grew up with made it. A lot of the people that I grew up with ended up in cartels or in drugs, prostitution, many different things. And that's one question a lot of people ask me is how come you were able to break through and other people, you know, and didn't with all the what you went through. And I think that when you make a decision, you can change your life, your destiny forever.
Wow, that is so true. And I love that. But as a young kid, you know, a lot of people say that when we're younger, we're way more connected, right? We're connected to our source, our energy, whatever you want to call it, God, whatever works for you, yes. Our higher selves. And that's what that feels like to me. You were open. You were open to all possibilities. You weren't, you know, you could have been skeptical, but you were open and you still believed in that childlike fashion. And
yes,
that's beautiful.
You know, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I lived in a cave.
Whoa.
On a side of a mountaintop canyon. There was like, if you could see the length of a football field from top to bottom, you could hardly walk on this. You had to crawl to get to my cave. And I built this cave. It was probably about 3 meters and 5 meters, like in an L shape the other way. And that was my secret hiding place to meditate. I was meditating. I didn't know I was meditating. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you absolutely that we all have access to something bigger than ourselves. And I think a lot of us turn that off, that childlike intuition, for whatever reason. As we grow older, we even dismiss it more. And that is what really connects us to the bigger part of ourselves, that where we can be and do something bigger than ourselves. And I was in that cave. As a matter of fact, I have a photo in my story video. You can see that. And recently I discovered somebody sent me a photo where I'm in the cave. And I would future cast myself into success. I imagine myself being a super successful woman with long hair, even though I have short hair, with the suit, behind a mahogany desk with my heels, even though I hadn't lived outside of the barbed wire fence. And so that, to me, is something that I continue to practice to see even though I was there for 18 years of my life, to see myself as something else and becoming it later. And holding steady to that, because it is in those moments, because see, you understand that fear and joy cannot coexist at the same time in the body. It's one or the other. It's the wolf that you feed the most. Mm-hmm. So what do you focus on? And for me, those moments were such a blessing, because I was able to be happy and thinking I could be and do something bigger and better and happier and no more suffering.
Yeah.
That was the choice.
That was the choice. And it was like that visualization. You were doing all the things that all the gurus teach, right? Without even being taught. You were literally just like channeling that stuff in, but you were open to it, you know, in your cave meditating. That's like, that's unbelievable that you were able to do that, you know, and mm-hmm. to feel that deep connection with your creator. and to be able to channel and visualize and see yourself. I love it. The mahogany desk with the heels right behind that, and really stepping into who you are and who you were meant to be, why you were put on this earth. Because I do believe that everybody is here with a really specific purpose that only we can fulfill. Would you agree with
that? Oh my gosh. Do you realize the chances of you being alive today? I mean, I was reading all these scientific studies. These researchers, these scientists came up with, they took into account your own personal DNA makeup. They took into account your parents, grandparents, ancestors, meaning the chances of them staying together, the chances of them having kids, the chance, they took into account wars, natural disasters, and they came up with this number. They said that your chances of being alive is 1 in 400 trillion.
Wow.
We are so lucky.
So
to
lucky.
Be here.
So lucky. That is unbelievable. I know, when you take into all that, what has to happen, everything has to happen in this beautiful coinciding fashion. You know, it truly is a miracle. And I feel like sometimes that gets lost, right?
Yes.
We're so busy with our stress and our anxiety that we lose track of that. You know, you've heard the old saying, yeah, every day above ground is a good day, right? Mm-hmm. And it's so true, but I find, like, how do you make that a reality? How do you remind yourself of that? Because we all lose sight of that in the busyness of our lives.
Yeah, I think, you know, the question is, why are you here? You are so lucky to be here. You're so blessed. Why are you here? And for me, that's been a path of discovery and rediscovery and stepping stones to something bigger, like my salsa was, to what I'm doing now. And see, your subconscious mind is always trying to guide you to your purpose like a GPS, but we don't listen.
Yeah.
And every time you have a bad day and everything goes bad and bad and bad and bad, and your life continues to do that month after month, maybe year after year, that is God, the universe, nudging you. Because see what happens with a GPS when it gets off track, it always redirects to the where you're supposed to go. And finally you get there, and some people get there sooner and some people get there when they're 80. But that's the biggest question, is why are you here, and how do you discover your why, or rediscover, or have many rediscoveries? Because sometimes it's going through stepping stones that leads you to that the reason why you're here.
Yeah.
And when you know that, you live a much more happier, blissful, fulfilling life, happier than ever, because you are so excited to wake up every morning to be and do something bigger than yourself.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, tying into something bigger than yourself. That's where I think a lot of people miss it. You know, they're in the job, they're focusing, they're just trying to get by because it's hard right now, you know, and it's stressful. And we've all these external things coming at us all the time. I feel like we're pulled externally in so many ways, but we need to take that power back and start looking inside and start asking those hard questions like you just proposed. Mm-hmm. What is your purpose, you know?
Yes.
And follow, being open to the answer, that's huge, because I feel like a lot of people do want to know what that purpose is, and they just can't quite put their arms around it. Mm-hmm. And for you, it was really clear from a really young age. What advice would you give somebody if they're not sure? They're not sure how to listen to that voice. What would you tell them?
What I would tell them, I would say, and what I've done for myself, and it's really, really helped me, is sit down, create a safe space for you, close your eyes, and it might take more than one time to take inventory of your life. Go back as far as you can remember, when you were a kid till now, and look at all the things that you absolutely love to do, the things that elated you, that mesmerized you, the things that were so interesting to you, that if you could do them today, even if you didn't get paid, you still do it because you have so much joy doing them. Those are treasures to kind of start pointing you in a great direction. There's a really powerful book by Howard Gardner called Frames of Mind, where he talks about the theory of multiple intelligences that humans have. Mm-hmm. And I've read that book, and it's given me quite a few rediscoveries. And I love rediscoveries. I apply for a rediscovery to the universe every 6 months. Because you're not the same person a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years from now. You're not going to be the same person. So in order to you have to work on yourself. You have to work on you, your inner self first before you can go out there and be what you're supposed to be for this world.
Yeah.
To be that catalyst that makes an impact.
I love that. Working on yourself first. You know, I love to, what you said is exactly an exercise I have my clients do is go back because you forget. Go back and think about when you're a kid. What did you do naturally as a kid that you absolutely loved? And you, everybody can answer that question pretty quickly. But then it gets wrung out of us. That creativity, right, as we grow, gets wrung out of us and we forget. And we get so busy with the trudging through our day that we just don't remember. And when I love the rediscovery theory too, because when we can go back and tap in and remind ourselves who we are every single day.
Yes.
I was on a women's leadership panel the other day, and we were talking about, they asked me for a tip, and I said, just be more you. Be 100% you. You know why?
Yes.
Because we take for granted that there's nobody else like us. There's only one us on this planet. Nobody sees things the same as we do, applies ourselves, you know, thinks of things the same, writes the same. Anything that comes out of us that we produce as a creative anything is unique. It's unique to us. And that is a special gift, I feel like God, whatever your higher purpose, has granted us. And putting your arms around that will make a difference in somebody else's life.
Yes, absolutely. And the thing, another thing I want to add here is that maybe your parents told you you couldn't. Maybe your husband, wife, friends are telling you you can't, but you can. And the way that I would do it is baby steps of courage. Start that side thing and see how, because I guarantee you it'll grow. And I guarantee your life will change if you just listen to that inner voice. Even if it means that you have to keep whatever you're doing still, but it will go away and the bigger thing will lead, because that's the thing that the one good thing after another that will happen. Yeah. That's the serendipitous journey that you begin to have.
I love that. I was going to say synchronicity. And the universe starts working for you, right? When you're tapped in and aligned and your intentions are aligned with your actions, you'd be amazed. You and I both know doors start opening, right?
Yes.
They start opening for you. Synchronicities, the right people, the right timing, the right places, the $800 that you won for the contest. All these things start happening, and it's really fun to live that way, isn't it?
Yes. It's you cannot stop. It's because it's so amazing to continuously see these gifts coming in. But gratitude is a big part, because when you're grateful for everything that comes, more things come to be grateful for.
I love that. Yeah. It's like you're saying to the universe, hey, I like this.
Yes.
Right? Bring me some more of that. And I always, you got to tell the contrast to that, because I don't think people realize when they're stuck in the struggle, right? And they're shouting about the struggle and how awful. They're saying that they want it to be better, but really they're focused on the struggle. And that's the hard part, I feel like, for people, don't you, to try to shift that mindset. That's why my show is called Look for the Good, right? Instead of looking for the bad, because that's where our brains are programmed to keep us safe. How do we shift that, right? To look for the good and reprogram. And gratitude is one of the great ways to reprogram your mind. Studies already show that it's proven to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It starts with your daily routine. You'll never be successful in life if you don't work on your daily habits.
Agreed.
And it starts with your daily routine. When you first wake up, what is the first thing that you do? Do you let life control you, or do you take control of your life? Do you pick up your phone, turn on the TV? What do you do? One of the first things that I love to do is I say an incantation as soon as my eyes open. And then I go through a whole routine of, I do a superhuman protocol. I do goals, meditations, affirmations, and see what happens when you first wake up. Your mind goes through, starts with the delta waves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is the deeply sleep state, to theta waves, which is a daydream state, to alpha waves, which is a natural process of waking up. But when you first wake up and you pick up your phone, dive into the world's social media, check your email, turn on your TV, you force your body to skip the theta in alpha waves to go mm-hmm. directly into beta, which is the wide awake sleep state. And what's interesting is that science says that if you see or hear something negative the first 10 or 15 minutes of waking up, you will trigger the stress response in your body that will leave you on edge for the rest of the day. They're saying that it takes 1 hour after you wake up, a whole hour to go through the sleep stages, which means that that's the time where your mind is most programmable.
Yeah, I love that.
That and before going to sleep, which means that's the time that I've always focused my time and my goals, affirmations, and my purpose, my rediscoveries. That's how you take control of your life, how you build habits for success. This is, and you know, there's a study out there, 2005, in their psychological research, the National Science Foundation studied hundreds of thousands of people, and they said that the average person thinks between 12 and 60,000 thoughts per day. And they said that out of those, 90% are negative, and 85% are the exact same repetitive thoughts of the day before. That correlates with waking up, letting life control you.
Yeah, totally.
How do you change your life? By implanting these things that you do want and listen. And listen, you do this, your life begins to change. All of a sudden, you become more joyful because you woke up mindful. You woke up with intention.
I love that. And I say that to people all the time. They're the same thoughts that you had the day before. And if that doesn't bother you as much as I do, that bothers me. I do not want to be living on repeat Groundhog Day. You know what I mean? Every single day we're going to have the same, because as soon as you wake up and you remember, you feel, you have the propensity to feel amazing. And here's the thing. People don't realize they have a choice. They start thinking about the negative. So, oh, I'm feeling great. Oh, wait, look, remember what happened yesterday? I got to feel bad about that now, right? But you don't have to feel bad about that. You can choose. And that's the piece where you're interjecting your free will. You do have a choice about how you want to feel and the thoughts that are going to, because it's all interrelated, right? We have a thought, it has a vibration, we have a feeling, and then a behavior, and it's that cycle all over. So I love knowing that I can interrupt that and choose a better thought. I love that.
Absolutely. There's multiple studies out there. You can look them up. It says that 80% of Americans pick up their phones within the first 10 to 15 minutes of waking up. 80%.
Oh, I believe it. It's awful. I want to throw mine in the garbage. Hold on, everybody. We're going to break real quick for a message from our sponsor. We'll be right back. I know you'll love this talk with Maggie. Hold tight.
Did you know 73% of employees are considering leaving their jobs, and almost half of Americans fear being laid off in the next year? That's a lot of fear and anxiety mulling around the office. In today's environment, employees need easy-to-use tools and strategies they can count on when the atmosphere is making them feel less than productive. To find out about proven ways to help your employees turn their stress into success, go to carrierowan.com and sign up for a free wellness consultation for your company today.
Ever notice how your brain automatically focuses on what's wrong in your life? Ever wonder why you find yourself telling the same old story about yourself over and over again? Tune into this high-energy show with author and mindset coach Carrie Rowan to find out how to retrain your brain to look for the good every Monday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Carrie uses powerful storytelling, easy-to-use tools, and inspiring guests to exemplify how a simple shift in perspective can bring miraculous results. Join Carrie on a journey into your own transformation that will leave you feeling inspired, empowered, and ready to find the good every day of your life.
Are you tired of feeling stressed and stuck? Did you know that the stories we repeatedly tell can be the very thing that makes us feel worse about our life? In her best-selling book, Tell a New Story, host and author Carrie Rowan shares the five simple steps to release your negative stories and bring joy to your life. This is not your average self-help book. It's a joy to read, and it's interactive with QR codes for meditations, original songs, and how-to videos at just the perfect point in the story, which makes transformation easy and at your fingertips. So if you're ready to go from humming a sad song about your situation to finding your voice voice and whistling a new upbeat tune as you skip along with joy as the new soundtrack of your life? Then get yourself a copy of Carrie's highly acclaimed book today. Go to carrierowan.com/book to get your copy now. That's CarrieRowan.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Look for the Good. I'm here with Maggie Cook. We're having this incredible conversation. I love where we're headed. We were talking about the fact that, you know, we have all these thoughts in our head, and usually they're negative, and usually they're the same ones we had yesterday. And the other thing I want to add to that is the scientific study that was done that shows that when we go to retrieve those thoughts or those stories, we tell people about those thoughts, they're usually only 50% accurate. So we're making stuff up as we go about how bad it is. And don't feel bad about that, because that's just the brain doing its job. So Maggie, I love you sharing the scientific stuff, because I love geeking out on the neuroscience as well. Tell us, what should somebody do? Let's say they're in that habit of waking up and grabbing their phone and scrolling, and oh, we know how bad that is for our brains. Give them a little tip. Give them a couple tips. I'm sure the listeners would love to hear. What do you suggest? How do they, what if they start off thinking and remembering all the bad things that happened yesterday? What should they do? How can they get out of that?
So what I love to do is, and I actually program my mind, my subconscious mind, to wake up to an incantation. And it automatically happens now for me. When I started it, I memorized it first, and then I put it on my bedside. So when I would first wake up, I would look over and I would see it, and I would read it, and I would just be so elated. That automatically changes everything. It changes the intention. It sets my day for, okay, I'm doing this. Now what's next? I have 1 hour. What do I do now? Do I sit down? I journal. Do I look at my affirmations, my goals? Why am I here? I ask myself that question. Wow, what is my intention for today? When you begin to live by that, those habits, movement, I encourage movement, because there's so much scientific research on what movement does for your body and your spirit and your soul and your, you know, even the health of your body. So that's why I have a tremendous morning routine, even physically, because I know the impact that it does for my health. Because if I can fill my cup as full as I can, I will be able to be there for the world that needs me. And I want to share something that I use every single day. And I don't know if you can see it. You probably won't be able to see it, but it's a ring that you can make. It's elastic. It's made for the ring finger, right? And it's called My Ring Intention. Mm-hmm. And I created this concept because one of my biggest realizations in life is how I wanted to be so much present and in the moment, because it brings so much joy, but I struggled and fought. But when I realized that I was on purpose, I was living in the moment, even if I didn't realize it, right? So this ring, the reason I love it is because it fits in my ring finger, but it's a little bit tight. So I remember that it's there and it's kind of squeezing me. So I set an intention for the day, like let's say, no bad thoughts. I don't want to think any of those things. And if they do come, I will even go, shh, or cancel.
Love that. Right?
And when I feel this ring, every time I can think about it and feel it, I move it to the other finger and I rotate them through all my fingers, and I will recenter and restate my intention for the day. And This is the best reminder that I've come up with. Because you could have timers, you could have all these things on your phone, and you forget, because it just becomes like another thing that you're dealing with during the day. But this has allowed me to recenter, and has allowed my clients. They use it so vibrantly, and they talk about the success of it. You can do it too. I'm not selling anything. You can go buy your little thing that is, you know, and shifting is the most important thing. I think that the biggest thing that we are not so good at is listening to our intuition and asking ourselves, what do you need right now? How do you feel right now? What do you need to do to shift from the way that you're feeling right now. Do I need water? Do I need to do some squats? I did some squats before I jumped in this call.
I saw you.
You know, what do you need? And ask your body that, because it is very spiritual connected, wonderful asset that we have, that the universe, that God has given us, that we need to acknowledge, and we have it for life. We have it, and we just have to learn how to navigate with it and be as bright and as fulfilled, as happy as possible. I believe that's the purpose in life, to live happy.
Yeah, I agree. Live with joy.
Live with joy,
right? Finding that joy. I mean, my book is all about finding your joy by releasing those stories that you're telling yourself all the time. I love what you're talking about energy, because everything's energy, right? Everything in this world is energy. Our thoughts, we're putting energy out all the time with our thoughts. It's like we're like a radio tower with our thoughts beaming out. So that's why you always have to ask yourself, I love that, ask better questions to yourself. Hey, what do you need right now? Asking your body. Are you hungry? Do you need some water? I love the physical energy piece, because I talk a lot about that in my book as well. And you and I were chatting when I saw you doing your squats. It almost looked like you were doing a super brain yoga. Did you ever hear about super brain yoga, which is really cool? I think you'd like that. Where you do those same squats, but you're crossing midline and you're holding your earlobes and you're really centering your energy. It's called super brain yoga. It's really cool. But you're doing squats just like that. I have a little mini trampoline that I keep outside my office, and I grab it and I'll jump on it for a few minutes before I get on a call like this, so I can make sure my energy is really robust. And I love talking about energy, because one of my freebies on my website used to be how to create energy on demand, right? And it's just what you're talking about, because if you need to serve and live your purpose, you got to have the energy to do that. And I feel like sometimes it's counterintuitive. Tell me if you agree. When people are tired, they want to lay down. And sometimes that's appropriate, have a little mini nap. But sometimes it's the opposite. It's not the caffeine or the candy bar that you need. It's actually to regenerate some energy for yourself by exactly what you were doing.
And it goes to this word, or these words, self-care.
Yeah.
You have to, if you're not feeling well, it's okay to give yourself permission to do the things that you need to do for you to be able to show up in the wonderful way that you're supposed to show up.
Absolutely. And you need the energy to do that. So I love that we speak that same language about energy. And what I find is, if I'm in the middle of something, or even when I was writing my book, I'm sure you can agree, you know, it's a big undertaking, right? Where am I coming up with these 13 chapters? And it's always something that you're working on. And I would find that when I would be stuck on something, the perfect sentence or the word, or I had to start a fresh paragraph with a blank page, which is always hard, I would leave my desk. I would make myself go outside, get in nature, feel the energy of the earth and those nice negative ions, right? With my feet connected to the earth, go outside, go for a walk, and think about nothing but gratitude when I'm on that walk. The trees, the sky, the birds, look at how pretty the clouds are. And when I come back into my office after that, it's like I'm brand new.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's like everything is revitalized.
One thing that I would love to add to that, for those of you who are struggling to do these simple things, is to visualize them before you actually do them with joy, and you'll do them with even more joy.
Ooh, I love that.
To visualize it as you're doing it already, right now. There's so many studies about that too.
Yes.
That if you do that, you'll actually end up doing even better with the task that you have at hand.
So true. As a musician, that's what the studies were done on musicians, I think, one of the studies. And they were sitting on the plane practicing what they were going to play when they got there. And I do that all the time. Mm-hmm. And it is. They showed that the brain doesn't know the difference, right? Whether you're imagining it or whether it's really happening. And you're still making those neural connections in your brain and tightening up that skill that you're trying to hone, or imagining joy. Mm-hmm. I love taking a moment before the next segment of my day, like when I leave this office. Imagining, okay, I'm going to go do this now, and how's that going to go, right? Before you get in your car is a great time to do it too.
Yes. You'll find a lot of serendipitous correlations as they're happening in real time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like the goosebump moments. And you're like, wait, I planned that in my office earlier.
Yeah, it was just like that. I moved just like this, right? I did this for sports, for business deals.
Yeah.
It's really powerful.
It is so powerful. You did that in the cave when you were imagining you sitting at your mahogany desk with the heels on. I love that. That's really powerful. So to the listeners, you know, take a hold of what Maggie's saying and picture yourself, imagine yourself. And if anything, what you're going to manifest first is the emotion of it, right? If you can conjure that, that's the most important ingredient, is to imagine what it will feel like when, fill in the blank, whatever's important to you, you have the $231 million deal, or, you know, you're sitting in the mahogany office, whatever it is, right? It's conjuring that emotion. How do you get yourself to feel that emotion of it before it actually happens?
Yes. So one of the best things that I do is involve all of your senses as much as possible. Mm. When you're there, what does it smell like when you know, the place?
Yeah.
What does it feel like? Do you hear anything? Do I hear seagulls when I'm going on my walk?
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the emotion creation that becomes part of that.
I love that, the smell of the new car, right? Mm-hmm. You want that new BMW or whatever. And then to imagine that smell, what does it feel like to hold that steering wheel or to shift the gear? You know, I love
Top down with the wind in your hair, right?
Yeah, top down. You don't even need the windows open because the top's down, right? Mm-hmm. And you are just, what are you wearing, right? Like, how are you feeling? Really tying into that emotion, heightens that emotion, heightens that experience for you, and makes it more real. And now, we're going to get neuroscience a little bit here. You're getting into the RAS system. You're getting to that reticular activating system, which you mentioned before without saying the name, which is the GPS. You're telling your brain what is most important to you. And that experience is most important. And now it's going to start looking for ways to make that happen and looking for ways to reconfirm that it's true and that it heard you. All of a sudden, you're going to start seeing BMWs everywhere.
You're taking what it's called inspired action.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that. There's nothing like it because inspired action feels so different than drudgery, doesn't it?
Yes.
It feels light and it feels fun, you know, and like with that kiddish energy that we were talking about before, all wrapped around it all. And guess what the best part of that is? Other people feel that, right?
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes. The most nonverbal communication is energy.
Yeah. You know, and everybody knows what we're talking about. You know what it feels like when someone walks in the room. You can almost tell what they're feeling by their energy, by the way they're carrying themselves, right? Body language is a really important part of that too. And really becoming aware of what you're emitting out to the universe, because whether you like it or not, or want it or not, that's what's coming back to you.
Exactly.
And I think that's a real aha moment for a lot of people.
Because
whether you want it or not is the second part to that sentence, right? So make sure you're putting out what you want to get back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely agree. Yes.
That's powerful. All right. We have got to break real quick. I know I don't want to because we're having such a great conversation. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And more from Maggie.
Are you tired of feeling stressed and stuck? Did you know that the stories we repeatedly tell can be the very thing that makes us feel worse about our life? In her best-selling book, Tell a New Story, host and author Carrie Rowan shares the 5 simple steps to release your negative stories and bring joy to your life. This is not your average self-help book. It's a joy to read, and it's interactive with QR codes for meditations, original songs, and how-to videos at just the perfect point in the story, which makes transformation easy and at your fingertips. So if you're ready to go from humming a sad song about your situation to finding your voice and whistling a new upbeat tune as you skip along with joy as the new soundtrack of your life, then get yourself a copy of Carrie's highly acclaimed book today. Go to carrierowan.com/book to get your copy now. That's CarrieRowan.
Are you ready to consistently be in the flow of success? Build an abundant business, easily find your right clients, and feel good inviting them into your community to do business with you? If your answer is yes, then you'll want to listen to Business Success with Human Design with Nancy O'Keefe on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network every Thursday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Business Success with Human Design is a podcast designed to help you peel back the layers of who you've been taught to be and how you've been told to do business, moving you from overwhelm to a business model that aligns with your authentic self and feels right for you. Come and explore Human Design for Business with Nancy.
Did you know 73% of employees are considering leaving their jobs, and almost half of Americans fear being laid off in the next year? That's a lot of fear and anxiety mulling around the office. In today's environment, employees need easy-to-use tools and strategies they can count on when the atmosphere is making them feel less than productive. To find out about proven ways to help your employees turn their stress into success, go to carrierowan.com and sign up for a free wellness consultation for your company today.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Look for the Good. I'm here with Maggie Cook. We are having this incredible conversation. I hope you are taking lots of notes. You're going to have to go back and listen to this one a couple times or watch it on YouTube. So I recommend you watch it because Maggie's energy is just incredible. It's coming off the screen. So let's talk a little bit about in your story, and I read your bio. You said your way out was basketball. You taught yourself how to play basketball, which is incredible in and of itself. But then you finally got out or something happened and you had this crazy injury. So just when you thought you were right on the cusp of it, you were hit with another obstacle. How on earth did you deal with that?
So I played basketball in junior high and high school, and it was my way out of the orphanage because soccer was a big, you know, sport back then. And I thought I'm going to get really good at this because it's new and it's an upcoming thing. And I really want to be big with it. And I remember playing blindfolded and I taught myself all these things. And my last game in high school, there happened to be the recruiters for the Mexican national team. And they saw me play and they recruited me to play for the national team. And I remember going to Mexico City. I played there and they were really, really excited. And they said, we're going to get back with you when we're ready. Went back to the orphanage. It was about a 3-month time span. And we didn't hear anything back. And I remember one day our caregivers introduced American football and my brothers and I started to play. And one of my brothers threw this really, really long pass and I caught it. But I caught it in the air and then I flipped my body towards the ground and my shoulder hit the ground and I broke my collarbone. Ugh. And I didn't know what had happened at that time because it felt like somebody had punched me in the stomach really hard, but I could get up really easy. And so I ran to my caregiver, who's also a doctor, and he was really rough. He took my shoulders and you know, kind of pulled them back. And he saw the rupture and he said, your dreams are over. Oh. And I remember crying a little bit, but I remember my fists going like this and saying, no, my dreams are not over. If this happened, I believe that something, there must be something better. And when it really hit me was 3 days later when the Mexican national team called and I couldn't go. But 6 months later, I think it was, my parents, our caregivers took a bus to tour the United States with my 68 brothers and sisters to raise funds for the orphanage. And we were asked to come to a picnic in Charleston, West Virginia at a Catholic school. And when we parked the bus, my brothers and I saw the basketball court and we ran and we started to play. And it was an outdoor court, kind of run down. And that day there happened to be the coach of the University of Charleston. And she saw me play. She went over and got my caregiver and told him, I want her to come play for me on a scholarship.
Wow.
And the thing that I want to say is that we listen to authority figures and we believe them sometimes. Of course, I'm not telling you that you shouldn't listen to your doctor. But if I wouldn't have played that day, I wouldn't be speaking to you right now. Wow. And the phrase that I kept repeating to myself was, if not this, then something better. So whenever wow. I have any kind of issue, something doesn't go my way or some kind of catastrophe or bad thing happen, I always tell myself, if not this, than something better. Not playing for the Mexican national team was the best thing that never happened to me.
That's amazing. I'm so borrowing that that phrase.
Yes.
If not this, then something better. I mean, that just changes everything.
Yes, it does. It did for me and it continues to do it. So
I love that. Oh my gosh. As such a young person coming up with all these incredible things, you are just so connected. You've always been so connected. That is your superpower, isn't it?
I believe we all have that power.
Yeah.
We are so much more powerful than we think, than we give credit to ourselves. We have so much beauty. We have so much strength. The problem is that we don't believe in ourselves. Mm-hmm. You have to believe in who you are.
Yeah.
Because when you believe in yourself, other people begin to believe in you too, and you begin to inspire change.
That's powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to own who you are.
And how do we do that, Maggie? Like, give them one or two things they can do if they're sitting there in disbelief, like, I know I should believe in myself. I wish I could. How can they change their mind about themselves, change their story that they're telling about themselves in their head?
The problem is that we're surrounded with people that tell us that we can't. Mm. And we've been accustomed to hearing those things, that we kind of silence that I can voice within us.
Yeah.
And I think that when we give ourselves permission to do and be something bigger than ourselves, we see little miracles come through. And then we allow ourselves to have more miracles come because we begin to believe more and more and more. And I make that a thing to believe in, to be more and receive more and grow more and live more authentically and more aligned and more on purpose.
All those things.
Baby steps of courage.
Baby steps. You said that before. I love that. Baby steps of courage. Because that's all it ever takes. People want to move the mountain right away. But it starts with a baby step and believing that you can, right?
Yes.
Which backs up all the way to in your bed when you're laying there in the morning, like we first talked about. Because I'm a big proponent of having an absolute morning ritual that you do every day.
Yes.
A non-negotiable morning ritual that you do every day. And it backs up to then, the first minute that you wake up, and that's the moment that you have the most influence, like we're saying, over yourself, and you're sort of kind of still in that subconscious mind. You're closer to it.
Yes.
You have access to it. And so reprogramming ourselves, we don't need other people to do it for us. We do it ourselves. That's what I love about it.
Yeah. If you see the mountain, you will be immediately discouraged.
Yeah. Exactly.
Instead, see what's right in front of you. What's the next step?
Yeah. What's right in front of you. One small baby step, I always tell my clients. What's one tiny little thing that you can do today that brings you a little bit closer? Because much like stress is cumulative, you know, it accumulates. I call it the emotional backpack. And that backpack gets so full, it's about to burst if you don't ever release that stress.
Yes.
But this, the good news is the same thing is true for the good stuff. Setting intentions, all the little things that you mentioned, managing your energy, having a better mindset. When you start doing these things, meditation, I'm a big believer in meditation. There's 5 custom meditations in my book. When you start doing this, those start to build instead of all the negative stuff. And that doesn't blow up in a bad way. That blows up in a really good way.
Yes. You fill your backpack with light instead of...
Yeah.
Now you pull things to energize you, right? Instead
Ooh, I love that.
Your back.
Right? Instead of it becoming heavier and heavier, like a bag of bricks, it becomes lighter and lighter and it starts to lift you. I love that visualization.
Mm-hmm.
The backpack starts to, I'm writing that down, starts to lift us up. I love that. It's really, it's so, I feel like visualizations are so powerful because so many people are visual learners. They just might not know it. And planting that in your head and coming up with analogies and things that work for you, you can customize it. But just knowing that you can reprogram your brain, I feel like is just such a huge and powerful way to look at your life with a new lens.
Yes. And a lot of times it takes reframing.
Yeah.
There's a really powerful quote by Dr. Wayne Dyer that says, if you can change the way you look at things, the things that you look at change.
I love that.
So instead of looking at the pessimism in life, what's the good about it? How can I change it? How can I see it differently? Because there's always something to learn from that. There's always teachings in discomfort.
So huge. I can't, we have so many synchronicities here. Okay. That's a quote in my book because I love Wayne Dyer. He was like a father figure to me. And I tell this whole story about my connection between my dad and I and Wayne Dyer. And so I love that quote so much because it's all about, that's actually based on scientific research, right?
Yes.
Because when scientists are doing experiments, if they get too involved in the experiment and want it to go a certain way, they can change the outcome of that experiment. Mm-hmm. Like that to me is so powerful. So yes. When we can learn to do the reframe, mm-hmm. and I talk about his book, his last book that he wrote, which was his memoir, I Can See Clearly Now. Did you read that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you will love it. I put it in my car because it's 52 chapters long and I listened to it in my audiobook.
Wow.
I was dreaming up places to go. I couldn't get enough of that book because everything in his life is a reframe. At the end of every chapter, he says, I can see clearly now that I had to be whatever. For example, fatherless, if you know his story about, yes. again, that would resonate mm-hmm. with you growing up in an orphanage. I had to be fatherless because I had to learn that so that I could teach people self-reliance because that was his big thing.
Mm-hmm.
So wow. Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
Every single chapter in his life, he looks back and says, I can see clearly now, because he wants to teach us that we can see clearly now. And it's just a matter of looking back and saying, like you said in the very top of this hour, you said, I'm grateful for all the suffering because now I understand.
Yes.
And it always made you look for the good in your life and create and imagine the things that you wanted more in your life.
Mm-hmm. That actually allowed me to thank my caregivers for everything they did. Because
that's beautiful.
It created something new, something more powerful to look forward to because I'd become a different person because of choice.
Choice. And that's what people forget. They give their power away because they think they're just stuck forever in this life and yes. they just give up. Not, you know, well-intentioned, but we give up because it seems so hard and we're looking at the mountain, like you said, instead mm-hmm. of just lacing up our shoes and taking a couple steps. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really beautiful. And one of the things, your stories that I just fell in love with, everything, your whole talk just was goosebump, tears, the whole thing, is how you gave back, how you went back. Can you tell a little bit about that story, about how you went back and helped some of the other kids that were still there?
Yes, I really believe that life always comes full circle for everybody. I don't know if you've ever read the book of Paulo Coelho, The Alchemist.
I love him. Yes, I
have. Amazing book.
Yeah.
So my story is, you know, there was just so much suffering and I would dream, I would have nightmares that went all the way up until college and I would scare my team members in the dorms because I would wake up screaming and crying. And my dreams were, there was so much abuse and I would teach myself how to fly and I would fly away, barely getting away. And I would fly into the mountains and I would look down through the trees and I would see the chaos in the orphanage. And when my caregivers went to town, I would fly back and teach all of my siblings how to fly so they could fly away with me. But for some reason, I could only take five. 30 years later, I was able to save all of them because of the choices, because of everything that I've become. So my question to everyone listening to this is, what is your full circle? What do you need to come back to? And coming back to that is part of our purpose or purposes that lead us to the greater thing. So what do you need to come back to?
You're giving me chills again. That is so powerful. What is it that you need to come back to? What's your full circle? Because that's could be your biggest why right
yes.
there, right?
Yes.
The whole reason that you did all this, so it came full circle so you could go back there and save those children that were there. I mean, I can't imagine what that felt like for you. Share that with us if you could put it into words.
Oh my gosh. Going back and saving them, I thought I was going to die because the drug cartel was going to take them.
Oh my gosh.
I took a flight from Michigan to Mexico to Morelia, which was the shortest flight I've ever had in my life, 5 hours to get there. And as soon as we got there, people know me because I was like a hunter. I used to hunt for food because we didn't have food growing up. So they know me in the villages, and I told them, let anybody know, because they talk, the villagers, that I'm here and we're armed and ready. And so I had a 38 special handgun and my brother had a homemade hechiza, like a shotgun. And we watched over these kids. We called the military and the federales.
Wow.
And they showed up in helicopters and everything.
Wow.
They were only able to take one children, but they got the guy because we scared them off, you know.
Wow.
I stayed with them. I put all of these kids in one room and I slept outside with my brother, my adopted brother. And I was so tired. And I remember they had this dog that would not stop barking at anything that moved in behind chicken wire. I was so tired by the end before the federales and the military came that I would tie a rope on my waist and for the dog to wake me up if anything was coming.
Wow.
And so, you know, I say some people give with money their time and some people can give with their life, but I would do it all over again if it was to save, because we saved all these little 4, 5, 6-year-old girls and boys who were like severely raped and they were about to be taken. And to me, that's, I believe that it's part of my major purpose in life as to why I'm here today, aside from what I'm doing now, speaking on stages and creating an impact through inspiration. But that's where I come from. You know, I could have been one of them too, of these kids that went through this journey. But there's so much that's going on in the world, but I'm glad that God, the universe, put me here to make a little bit of a difference. And that's what I'm really grateful and thankful for.
Maggie, that was so beautiful. I'm so moved by you and your story. And I know my listeners are listening in and you're giving people so much hope and inspiration. And thank you for going back and saving those beautiful children. And thank you for everything that you do to make the world a better place. You truly are the epitome of the full circle, giving back, and, you know, the unity consciousness of love that we're really looking for, and using your superpowers to make the world a better place every day. It's a beautiful thing. Maggie, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Tell everybody where they can find you. What if they want to hire you for a keynote, as they should, because you're amazing.
they can go to maggiecook.com. It's spelled Maggie with one G. COOK.com, and everything's there.
Thank you so much, everybody. And remember, if you want to find out when the next one's dropping, this is so incredible. If you want to get little insider tidbits on Maggie, you got to sign up for my newsletter, my podcast newsletter. Just go to carrierowan.com and click on the tab above that says podcast radio show. And I absolutely loved this conversation. You and I could talk for another 2 hours here. Yes. We don't have the time slot, but I would love to have you on the show again as time moves on. And I know my listeners would too. So thank you, everybody. Thank you again, Maggie.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
And you're welcome. And remember, everybody, it is never too late to live your best story. Be well.
Thanks for tuning in to Look for the Good with your host, Carrie Rowan, best-selling author and mindset coach. Join us every Monday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. right here at Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. If you weren't able to catch an episode, no worries. Just visit our website to find all the archived episodes of Look for the Good on demand so you don't miss a thing. And remember, it's never too late to live your best story. For additional resources or to find out about how you can work with Carrie directly, visit carrierowan.com for more details.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.